Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Thank you very much, Farad, and welcome back, everyone, to the podcast Another Day Above Ground, which in today's situation has never been a better title, because every day we're fighting to stay above ground amidst this pandemic that we're in. Anyhow, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you back. The show designed for baby boomers, and even if you're not, I'm sure you'll like it. Let me introduce my two co-hosts, my partners in this podcast. First of all, from the state of Indiana, welcome the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, the CDC right now is attesting that if they wanted to exaggerate the numbers, they would have just asked the president to estimate them.
And in Denver, Colorado, our female sensibility member, please welcome Carolyn Strauss.
I'm just so excited because I think the ocean is COVID-free and it's May, so I am ready to hit the beach as soon as possible. Of course, in order for me to do that, I have to get on an airplane and then rent a car and then find a hotel. So my plan is to hit a beach as soon as there's a beach somewhere near me.
I'm going to L.A. this weekend. Guess how much? Guess how much I got? Round trip, ORD to LAX, guess.
$35.
Ah, I told you already.
That's great.
I'm just trying to win the prize. But Carolyn wants to go to the beach. You're going to LA. They got beaches there. If they're open, I have no idea. The beaches are closed here in Chicago, which is good because it's cold today and you're not going to want to go there anyhow. But I'll tell you where it's warm, and that is down in Mexico. We are now at Cinco de Mayo, which is a Mexican holiday. It stands for the 5th of May, but to most white people, Cinco de Mayo means a celebration of the first guy to toss a jar of Hellman's into a lake and watch it go down. But I just wait for the laughter there. Anyhow, what
yeah,
we
you're
found.
Be waiting a while.
What we found are two people who now live in Mexico. They're expats from here in the U.S. decided to retire to Mexico, and we want to give a big welcome to Barb Gashaw and Fred Collins. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having us on, Dale.
Happy to be here.
What part of Mexico do you currently reside in?
We're in San Miguel de Allende, which is about 20 kilometers from the absolute geographic center of Mexico. We're about four hours outside of Mexico City.
Are you part of a cartel?
No. Not last time I checked.
Okay, although, I don't really know much except what I see on TV.
Some of my best friends are.
Oh.
We would certainly have a lot more money if we were.
You guys live in the middle of Mexico. If I think about my geography right, isn't that really far from the beach?
It is really far from the beach, although we have a lake within walking distance. We can walk down to the lake. We don't actually swim in the lake, but we can, you know, wander around the lake and enjoy the water.
We actually live in what is called high desert. San Miguel de Allende is at 6,700 feet.
Wow. Now, what drew you there? What attracted you to, first of all, to retire in Mexico and to go to that particular place?
Well, this was the result of a seven-year research project. We always knew that we wanted to retire offshore and that it was going to likely be someplace in Latin America because we just love Latin America. And so we the last 7 years, rather than just going on vacation to lay on a beach somewhere, we would go to somewhere that we had researched to and investigated as a potential retirement spot. And so we looked at Costa Rica and Ecuador and Argentina and Uruguay, Panama, and then we came to San Miguel de Allende. which we had heard of but didn't think we could afford. But we came here anyway. We went to numerous other places in Mexico as well, Busa Diaz and Merida, Yucatan. And then we came to San Miguel, and we'd been here about 10 days, and we looked at each other and said, huh, this is it, isn't it? And this is it. So here we are. San Miguel is... it's a colonial city. Much of it was built in the 1500s. It is the seat of the War for Independence from Spain, which took place in 1810. We down in the main area, we have the Plaza de Conspiración, which is where the conspirators gathered together to plot the revolution against Spain. That kind of attitude we kind of enjoy. And just for the record, Cinco de Mayo is not the Mexican Revolution. It's actually, the date is September 15th. And that was when the cry of freedom went out, which is basically the Mexican equivalent of the Declaration of Independence.
Cinco de Mayo is actually when the Mexicans defeated the French invasion in Puebla.
And when anybody fights the French, that's a reason to celebrate it.
Cinco de Mayo is a much bigger holiday in the United States than it is in Mexico. They celebrate in Puebla, and here... San Miguel has a very large, about 10,000 expatriates that live here.
Wow.
And so,
all from the U.S., I'm assuming, right?
U.S., Canada, Europe, Australia, all over.
Huh.
The climate brings people here. It's very moderate temperatures year round. It doesn't ever get really cold, nor does it ever get really, really hot.
Huh.
Wow, today, that sounds great.
Today is about 85 degrees, and tonight it'll probably go down to about 60. And that's typical for this time of year. November, December, January, it's only in the 70s, and may get down into the 40s at night. So that's a little colder. But most of the year, it's right around 80 degrees in the day and 60 degrees at night. So the climate is about perfect, and now, that's certainly one of the things that brings people here.
Have you been affected by the coronavirus? Do you have to stay inside or what's the deal down there?
We've been sheltering in place now for about a month. We may have started early, but Freddie here has some lung issues that made me think maybe we should begin to watch ourselves. What's interesting about the Mexican people tend to be a lot more fatalistic than the expats do. So the expats are very much sheltering in place. The Mexicans, not so much. Some of them are, and they are adapting their businesses and so forth with the masks and the gloves and the sterilization and all of the things that they need to do to keep going for their for their expat clients, to make us feel safe about getting our food delivered and shopping in the stores and things. We are not in total lockdown. It is just highly recommended that we shelter in place. But many of the Mexicans, particularly the young Mexicans, have sort of adopted an attitude of, I'll get it or I won't. And I'll survive it or I won't. And, but life goes on. And that's... Mexicans treat their government with a great deal of skepticism.
Wow, right.
especially Mexicans that don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, well, all Mexicans really are really skeptical of anything that the government says or does or tells them to do. And one of the main reasons why we work so hard to learn Spanish is because their political humor is just absolutely delightful. But of course, you have to understand Spanish in order to get the jokes. And so we keep working on that. It's not easy, but I like to say my restaurant Spanish is flawless. But beyond that, it's a lot more difficult.
Cerveza, por favor. That's mine That's it.
Yeah, donde está el baño?
Con sal or sin sal? With salt or without salt? Yeah. That's my Spanish right there.
Right.
The one that served me best is vámonos a la cama. So,
all valuable phrases. Más yellow is another one, because Mexicans traditionally do not like their food and beverages extremely hot or extremely cold. And it's always a running joke that the expats want a lot more ice in their beverages. Yellow is ice. Ah. And the expats always want more ice in their drinks. And you'll ask for a glass of water with ice, and they'll bring you a glass of water with one ice cube. That's just a cultural thing. And for the most part, the expats and the Mexicans get along great. And, we have a lot of Mexican friends. I can't say that we're best friends with any Mexicans, but, it takes time to develop, deep friendships. And we're getting there.
Here's a question. You just mentioned water.
Yeah.
Now, do you still have to drink bottled water, or have you become accustomed to the tap water by now?
Well, we at home and in restaurants too, we drink for the most part it's tap water, but most people have some type of purification system. We only use bottled water to make our coffee, and that's because the water has so many minerals in it that it destroys your coffee maker. Huh. And in five years, we've gone through three of them have just up and died on us.
Wow.
Oh, man.
But we've never had, I believe that most of the restaurants serve bottled water. And I've never been concerned about that, or they say don't have ice in your drinks, and that's never been an issue. We have a purification system here at the house that does filters and the blue light thing to kill bacteria.
Ultraviolet,
yeah, the blue light thing,
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were referring to the Kmart down the street.
Yeah, the blue light special, exactly. But it's not been an issue. We wash our vegetables and fruit very much like we did in the States, in the water that comes out of our tap, and that's not a problem. People, when they first come here, may have some intestinal distress, but that's more the change in the food as opposed to any bacteria things. I do know of people that have wound up with bacteria problems, but it's never been an issue for us.
Wow.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a gardener?
Yes. We have a gardener and a housekeeper.
Don't do it, Dale. Well, don't do it.
The reason why I ask is, since the COVID thing happened, there's a lot of Mexicans that come here in the summer on work visas to do landscape. They can't come anymore.
Right.
And, my landscaper said I'm really shorthanded, because we can't get any of the people that we normally get. So I was just making sure you have a Mexican landscaper, I'm assuming.
Right. We have a Mexican garden, and that's one of the reasons why Mexico is such a good deal for people who are on pensions and Social Security and stuff like that, is because labor is so very inexpensive here. We overpay our gardener at 100 pesos an hour, which roughly translates to...
Well, this morning it was $4.30.
Yeah, $4.30.
Wow.
And our maid makes
about $32 a day.
Yeah, about $32 a day. No, not that much.
Well, what we pay is $32.
We pay $25.
$25 plus her propina.
Right. Okay. About $32 a day.
We're talking to the Bickersons here. Okay.
plus her what? What was that?
Well, and we do not, Mexican labor law is very weird. And so we do not employ our housekeeper directly. She comes to us from a service.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, okay.
So that she's his employee and not ours.
Right.
Because if you discharge an employee in Mexico, you owe them severance, whether for whatever reason, it doesn't matter why you discharge them, you still owe them severance.
Huh.
And it can be substantial. And so she cleans our house, but she works for him.
You know, in the U.S., we don't generally employ our housekeepers either. I mean, I don't know how long you've been gone, but we don't usually employ our housekeepers either, right? They come, mm-hmm. they clean, we pay them hourly, and they leave.
Well, she comes to us one day a week, and he's got her placed someplace, you know, somewhere else the rest of the time, and he pays her Social Security and her health benefits. And but then propina is tip, and yeah. we tip her 100 pesos every time she comes.
And then for her birthday, I give her 500 pesos, and then for Christmas, we traditionally give her 1,000 pesos.
So, wow. Do they print the peso in one peso denominations? Because we're having a lot of trouble getting toilet paper up here.
Well, we can't help you there because the one peso is a coin.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Yeah, I ordered the other day. It was a mess.
It's like the three seashells.
And Mexicans, by the way, who pay it, most Mexicans at least know generally what's going on in the United States, and they're having a pretty good laugh about the toilet paper thing, let me
tell
you.
They find this, the American obsession with hoarding toilet paper to be quite amusing, and it's just not an issue here. There's plenty of toilet paper in the stores, and there's plenty of everything in the stores.
Well, it's like over in India, they're saying, what is this toilet paper you speak of? You know?
It's the cows who are saying that, Dale.
I'm assuming you get a lot of great Mexican food. Do you miss anything, though, from being down there that you used to get here?
Yeah, deli.
Ah, no deli of any sort?
There's, they call it deli, but we came from Detroit, and Detroit has wonderful delicatessens, Jewish rye bread and thin sliced Jewish corned beef sandwiches, and I miss that more than I think just about anything, really.
Black licorice. Mexicans absolutely across the board do not like anything with anise in it.
We love black licorice, and so whenever anybody's coming down, it's like, can we bring you anything? It's like, yeah, Twizzlers. Bring us Twizzlers.
What about pizza? Can you get pizza down there?
Oh, Mexicans love pizza. We probably have 7 or 8 really good pizzerias in town.
Yeah. We have a Chicago-style pizzeria.
Is that right? That's terrific.
Dale, you never asked me, being in Colorado, about the deli or the pizza. It's terrible.
No, that's all he cares about in Colorado are the pot stores.
Exactly.
Would you think would lead to delis and pizza, but...
we have just about every major food franchise within, say, 30 miles. You know, in town we have a McDonald's, a Domino's, Burger King, probably someone else.
Yeah.
In Celaya, we have, you know,
Taco Bell. You have Taco Bell?
No Taco Bell.
I have been lobbying to get a Taco Bell.
Because, you know, Taco Bell is not really Mexican food.
Yeah, no, exactly. Company. So why don't they have one?
They actually did have 3 Taco Bells in Mexico. 2 of them were in Mexico City, and one of them was in Monterrey. And they just never took off, so... they just closed them and forgot about it.
Huh.
But we have Hardee's, we have Church's Chicken. I mean, we have just about any franchise you can name.
Whataburger.
We have Whataburger.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Let me ask. Does the Burger King down there, did they do the Impossible Burger, the vegetarian Whopper down there at the Burger King in Mexico?
We haven't been there since they started that. I mean, it was pretty much traditional Burger King, so I'm guessing that they did. I just never did.
We don't go there a lot. But you can, I know you can get, we have, because of the large expat community, there are also a fair number of vegan restaurants and health food stores and things like that. So, and I know you can get the Impossible Burger at the Natura Market, so at the Mercado Sano, the health food store, basically.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have it, but I just don't, I have not seen it myself.
I was just curious.
We also do not have a Popeye's chicken. Oh. And I would love to have a Popeye's chicken.
Oh, you know they make a chicken sandwich now.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We came back to visit his mom in September.
Yeah, the lines for that are longer than the lines for toilet paper.
Well, one causes the other, Tim.
Yeah. His son went out and got us, managed to score us a couple of Popeye's chicken sandwiches, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best friggin' chicken sandwich I have ever had.
It was pretty funny. Yeah.
Now, being from Detroit, I'm assuming that you're probably, at least when you were in the States, sports fans, big sports fans in Detroit.
Sure.
There are any sports down there, or what, do you miss any of the normal sports? I can't imagine ice hockey's real big in the middle of Mexico.
No hockey. Of course, you know, football, which is you know is soccer.
Soccer.
It's football here, spelled F-U-T-B-O-L-L. Football.
B-O-L.
Yeah, B-O-L, and that's huge. And it's almost like the kids here are kicking a soccer ball. As soon as they're not even walking yet, they're pulling themselves up on the couch and kicking the ball. It's very, very important. And Mexico always fields an incredible team. Some of our best times in the bars here was during the World Cup, when which of course Mexico didn't win, but it didn't matter. It was a huge party. And here, of course, it started at 10 o'clock in the morning. And anything that gives us a reason to drink at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're good with.
I call it getting out of bed. You know, yeah.
Mexicans are also very, very fond of basketball. Huh. And it is very common to see young people wearing NBA sports jerseys.
Huh. What about bullfighting?
That kind of makes sense. Sorry, Dale. I was just going to say that basketball is kind of like upside down soccer, really. So
yeah, that's true.
It doesn't make sense.
What? They both have balls. How is that?
Well, it's in the air more than it is on the ground. That's
Yeah, it was a little bit of a stretch, but it was good. That was good.
And you get to use your hands but no feet. That's which is the exact opposite of soccer.
So what about bullfighting? Do they still have that? You use your hands, your feet, and weaponry in that. Do they still do that?
Bullfighting.
Oh, absolutely. She won't go with me.
I'm too tender-hearted. I don't go to the bullfights, but he does.
I go to the bullfights every New Year's Eve. I have a group of friends, and we go. It's interesting. It is almost more pageantry than it is actual.
Oh yeah.
The best part is when the bull wins. It's friggin' hilarious.
Except to the matador, he's probably not laughing. But so
are you like the only one there rooting for the visitors rather than the home team?
Mexicans, you know, they watch and they cheer, and when the tables turn, all of a sudden the entire arena will start rooting for the bull. If the matador makes a mistake, that's it. The crowd turns on him like a pack of wolves.
They stand up with their t-shirts, go Toro.
And then they check the cushions in the arena.
But yeah, it's very, very interesting. And they walk through, the vendors walk through the stands carrying large tray with tequila, beer, and cigars. And
in Moscow?
No, usually I always take mezcal. They usually only tequila. And then another vendor right behind him or right in front of him is carrying a giant tray of just 40 different things loaded with salt and sugar.
Wow. That beats the hell out of cotton candy and Cracker Jacks. That's what we get. I'd much rather have tequila, mezcal, and beer. Wow.
Well, yeah, me too. And I guess the thing that is I really like to talk about is the cost of living here, which is just we like to say that we now live and live quite well on what we used to pay in taxes.
Wow.
Wow. I also heard that you had a collection, Fred. Did you have a collection of something?
Well, yes, I have. Well, I don't know if I'll call it a collection anymore. When I was in the United States, I was a Barbie collector. And I had at one time about 1,200 Barbie dolls. And I used to go to Barbie doll conventions and toy fairs and all kinds of different things. Down here, I only have 99 dolls because our agreement upon moving was I could only take 100.
Ooh, so you have space for that one more. But wait,
so you're married to a Barbie.
And yeah, that's one. Well, actually, I only brought 97 down. When the house was empty, right after we first purchased it, I said, there's no dolls in the house. So I went out to the store and I bought a used Barbie doll just so there was a doll in the house. And then I brought down 97. And since we've been here, I bought one.
Okay, so can I show you my
Barbie collection?
He watches
it pretty close.
Can I show you my Barbie collection?
Yes.
I got 60s Barbie.
Oh, I know her. I had her one time way back when.
Okay, wait. And there's one more. I don't know if you had this one. I have Bewitched Barbie.
Oh, of course I had that one.
Are you kidding?
I grew up in the 60s.
Exactly.
Oh, and Andy had a crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so do I. And that's a whole different show. But, yeah, those are my Barbies.
The only one I had, this was Coronavirus Barbie. And only one in my collection. Well, Barb, Fred, we can't thank you enough for sharing and everything about what it's like to live in Mexico. Maybe are there other places where you live that would be available for people wanting to move down there?
Actually, right now would be a really good time to move here because for obvious reasons real estate is tanking. So if you have the wherewithal to leave,
yeah, it's
right now would be a great time.
Like a 2,000 square foot house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2,000 square feet, pretty
you
house.
You could do very, very well for $200,000.
That's like a billion pesos.
$100,000, Dale.
And actually, I think you could do better than that, depending on it's like anything else. It's all about location. And if you're down in downtown, what we call Centro, it's always more expensive than in some of the outer ring areas. But we have basically what you just described. Our house is 1,600 square feet with a beautiful center patio, and we paid $155,000 for it 5 years ago.
Wow.
So what are your
taxes on that?
Oh, $200 a year.
What? Oh my God.
Sí, señor. Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move. Holy.
Because we do it at the same location, I paid for 1 year for our water bill and we paid our property taxes. The property taxes were $199.60. And the water bill for the year was $640.
Wow.
For the whole year.
I pay more than $200 a year in late penalties.
And tequila is a nickel. So it's really the best place to go.
No, tequila is not a nickel. You could probably do a decent one for, you know, 70 pesos, 80 pesos a shot, which is about $3.
That ain't bad.
And
beer. Now I can get you a bottle of liquor for $1.50.
Be very afraid.
You probably won't be able to see the next day.
It's only recommended for getting charcoal lit.
Well, we drink a lot of mezcal and have kind of become mezcal aficionados. And so we just did a trip to Oaxaca where we bought in bulk. What did we come home? We came home with 20.
I bought 28 liters.
28. We came home with 28 liters of mezcal.
A week supply.
Yeah, that should get you through the month. Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to last till August, but it looks like it's going to run out in June with this thing going on right now.
Who gets the worm? Which one of you takes the worm?
The real mezcal that comes from the genuine suppliers doesn't have a worm.
The
tourist mezcal has a worm.
Oh, you know, man.
That's kind of a marketing thing.
Live and learn now, boy. Holy cow. You ever put a gummy worm in just to make it more?
No.
But if you come down, we'll make sure you get a nice large plate of chupalines.
All right. Now I don't even know what those are. But
dried salted grasshoppers.
All right.
They're actually pretty good.
I've had them. They make me a little jumpy. But well, Barb and Fred, thank you so very much for joining us. We have run out of time, but it was a sheer pleasure talking to you. We'd love to get back to you anytime there's more Mexico-centered news that would affect people. But for all of our baby boomers, we want you to look into retiring in Mexico because apparently it's one heck of a deal. So, other than that, Carolyn, do you have any last words?
No, but Feliz Cinco de Mayo.
All right, there you go. Okay, and go Zapata. How about you, Tim?
Hey, just check out my website, timslegel.com.
All right, and go to daleirvin.com and sign up for the Friday Funnies, absolutely free. Until next time, I bid you adios. I bid you, however Carolyn said, Cinco de Mayo, and we will see you back here. Also, visit our website, anotherdayaboveground.com. You'll find all kinds of fun stuff on there. Thanks for joining us.
Un otro día, hold on. Un otro día sobre la tierra. Another day above ground.
Okay, good. We have one Spanish listener. Thank you very much, and sayonara. No, not sayonara. Adios.
Adios. That's
Vaya con carne. Go with me.
And that's it for another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.